It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Disgruntled by the results from the special legislative session, which wrapped up yesterday, the governor and lieutenant governor blame House Speaker Joe Strauss for the failure of certain bills. House Republicans held a special behind-closed-doors caucus meeting this morning to discuss how they, as a party, could change how the speaker is nominated. Speaker Strauss was present at that meeting. Tyler Republican Representative Matt Schaefer is head of the House's Freedom Caucus, the main group pushing for the rule change. Schaefer says House Republicans would like the majority ruling party to be able to nominate a speaker they feel is best suited to preside over the House rather than each House member having a say.
Well, that's part of the conversation is are we going to have a process where Republicans choose their nominee before we go to the floor? We're not. I mean, that's really the question, and there's different perspectives on that.
The House Republican caucus vowed to continue discussing how to go about changing the rules in the months ahead. Christopher Jackson, star of Broadway's Hamilton, visited North Texas recently. RNC's Hadi Mwangi talked with the actor who believes early exposure to the arts expands possibilities, not just for him, but for young people in Dallas.
As a kid, taking to the stage was the easiest way for Christopher Jackson to be seen.
I grew up with middle child syndrome, so I think acting was pretty much my only way to garner any kind of attention in the house.
Jackson grew up in Cairo, Illinois, a small town in the state's southern tip. And he was introduced to performing at church.
The church was pretty much the center of my social world, of my extracurricular world, and we did plays and performances, and I'd sing with the choir and do solos and things like that.
During childhood, Jackson was a ham, and acting gave him a place to expend energy. But it also built up his confidence and ambition. It made him fearless.
But, you know, beyond that, I always tend to focus what I have been able to do because arts has given me an entree into the world, because it's opened up my perspective.
Jackson's accomplishments are pretty unbelievable.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
Since graduating from the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, the 41-year-old 6'2" performer has starred in some of Broadway's biggest hits, including The Lion King, the Tupac musical, Holler If You Hear Me, and In the Heights.
Attention, yo. Attention, it's Benny, and I'd like to mention I'm on the microphone this morning. Honk your horn if you want it.
Here he comes.
Here comes the general.
But it was his role portraying the venerated Virginian veteran George Washington in the hit musical Hamilton that got him nominated for a Tony and helped him become known to more people than the typical Broadway audience.
My career has come along at a time in the sort of the history of musicals where things were opening up, where audiences were willing to come and experience something that they wouldn't necessarily have experienced.
Jackson says he's lucky. He says there was no way to predict that these shows would have become the behemoths that they are. But luck doesn't explain the Emmy or Grammy Award that he received for writing and composing music for Sesame Street. Here's Jackson providing the voice for the Justin Bieber Muppet in the song Measure, Yeah, Measure.
I never thought that I could ever find out just how big a jumbo shrimp could be.
Being able to write for Sesame Street is about the purest form of writing that you can do, in that Sesame never talks down to kids. It meets them exactly where they are. They are the mirror to our best selves as adults.
That sentiment, kids mirroring our best selves, is exactly why Jackson visited North Texas. He came to support the oldest children's theater in Dallas, the Junior Players, which he says provides an invaluable service. Jackson believes that arts education has intrinsic value to kids. It teaches them to question norms and helps them become people who search for justice.
Who better to pursue that than kids? They have the distinct perspective of seeing the world as it should be and as it is. So who better to hold up that mirror?
Jackson knows that a career in entertainment isn't for everyone. But arts made him intellectually curious and opened him up. He says that can't be bad for anyone.
There's no higher pursuit in our society, I think, than giving kids the opportunity to experience that kind of thing.
The experience could bring about a Broadway star, or at least a valuable member of society. Hadi Mwangi, KERA News.
The youth acting troupe, the Junior Players, hosts a panel discussion on Saturday about what equity in the arts means for young people and how they can be catalysts for change. It takes place Saturday at Dallas City Performance Hall. If you can't make it, Art and Seek is live streaming the conversation. We have more details at artandseek.org. And parenthood is filled with questions. How do I put a baby to sleep? Which school is right for my child? And there are bigger ones like, should I even have a child? Today on St. Chris Boyd explored the hard questions about having kids with SMU philosopher Jean Cazes.
There's a lot of reasons where you could think, I want a child, but is it right? And one of them is this sort of environmental issue or the issue of overpopulation. What I argue is that when you have a child, it's somewhat like adding more to your own life. It's adding continuity. It sort of ersets survival. Suppose you have some kind of health threat that you have to deal with, and you're thinking about, should I treat it or not treat it? If you were really worried about overpopulation, you might think, you know, it would be environmentally advantageous if you just didn't treat it and shortened your life. But nobody would ever do that because it's just obvious that we're entitled to the kind of continuity that we have when we continue our own lives. What I'm claiming is that there is something like that kind of continuity that we have when we reproduce and we have another child who seems self-like and who will sort of go on into the future when we're not around.
Jean Cazes is the author of The Philosophical Parent, Asking the Hard Questions About Raising Children. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. When the Dallas Cowboys take the field next month, they'll be without one of their stars. The NFL suspended running back Ezekiel Elliott for 6 games after a year-long domestic violence investigation. He filed an appeal with the league yesterday. Though law enforcement dropped the case, the NFL determined there is substantial evidence that Elliott assaulted his former girlfriend, something he denies. As KERA's Gus Contreras reports, the NFL is making an example out of one of its best players.
The NFL is taking this case seriously. After several high-profile domestic abuse cases, they're not backing down. Last July, Tiffany Thompson accused Elliott of assaulting her. Elliott's lawyers have focused their appeal of the suspension on disproving her credibility. On Wednesday, the league scolded Elliott and the players' union for what they called attempting to shame and discredit his accuser in the media. Jennifer Gates is a Dallas City Council member and chairman of the Domestic Violence Task Force. She's also the daughter of Cowboys legend Roger Staubach.
And there is a natural tendency to want to look the other way, but we can't.
Gates says the line shouldn't be blurred.
We can't do that, and the NFL shouldn't tolerate, teams shouldn't tolerate, teammates shouldn't tolerate their teammates' behavior that way. We shouldn't make excuses just because they're athletes.
The alleged assault took place in Columbus, Ohio. Elliott was not arrested or charged, but the NFL opened its own investigation. The league's report showed they talked with more than a dozen witnesses, had photographic evidence of bruises, and reviewed text messages between Elliott and his then-girlfriend. Cowboy fans like Chris Deborowicz take an issue with this. Elliott's one of the best on the team and led the NFL in rushing last season as a rookie. Deborowicz doesn't feel like it's the league's job to police players and wants the suspension dropped.
Considering that he wasn't charged, and he hasn't been proven guilty, I think it was pretty harsh. Based on what we do know, I would say it's not fair at this point in time.
In the legal world, the prosecutor concluded Thompson's statements conflicted with the ones made by Elliott and witnesses. In the sports world, the NFL's changed its stance on domestic violence. In 2014, a player who punched his wife on camera was only given a 2-game suspension. Public outrage ensued. Dallas City Council member Jennifer Gates says the NFL is doing the right thing.
There are probably people that are afraid to speak out because, oh, no one's going to believe me. They're going to want to believe the athlete. And so I think the NFL, listened and had an objective review with experts and a fair panel to make that analysis.
Later this month, Elliott will have a hearing to contest his 6-game suspension. The NFL has designated former league executive Harold Henderson to oversee the case. If Elliott and the Cowboys aren't happy with that decision, they could try and file a lawsuit. Gus Contreras, KERA News.
Mostly cloudy skies later this evening with a chance for storms and a low around 70. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.